There was a court, and the court was in session. There were the usual niceties that were taking place, you know, and all the stuff that was going on. And everyone, they stood up. As soon as the judge enters into the courtroom, everyone stands up. And then when they are finally seated again, the judge began to read the charges off against the person. And then there's this man who's over at the defense table, and the man stands up, and the judge says, "Are you the defendant in this case?" The defendant replied with these words, "No, sir, Your Honor. I've got a lawyer to do the defending. I'm the guy who done it." You see, he had done it. He was guilty. But he had this attorney, this lawyer that was going to defend him. Intercession is what lawyers do for their clients. And lawyers sometimes have to defend guilty people. That's why in 1 John chapter 2, it says, "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate, we have a lawyer with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." Today, as we continue working our way through the series, you know, it's all about God. We're looking at these verses that people have said are their favorite verses. Today, we're going to look at Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 28. We will be there in just a little bit. You see, when you are guilty, when you have sinned, which all of us have, Jesus is our advocate. He's our attorney. He is our defender. He is our intercessor. He intercedes on our behalf with the Father. In fact, that's exactly why Jesus came to earth. That's exactly why he died. He died on our behalf. There's a famous prophecy about Christ. It's actually found in Isaiah chapter 53, where God declares, "Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors." You see, when Jesus came and he died, he died for our sins on the cross so that he could go and make intercession for us. We were sinners, each and every one of us. We were guilty. And he came to be our defender, to be our advocate, to be our intercessor. We received from him the opportunity to be freed from condemnation. We have a God who loves us, each and every one of us, so very much. So much so that he actually intercedes for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. In fact, did you know that intercession is very important to God? It says in Psalms 103, "He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust." So intercession, it is important to God because he knows how fragile we are and how fragile we can be. And because intercession is so important to God, do you know he actually gives us examples of intercession in the Bible? For example, when God decides that he's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, who was it that interceded for those cities? Many of you know it was Abraham. It's found in Genesis chapter 23. But why would God include that appeal? You may remember the entire conversation between Abraham and God going back and forth. Why would God include that in the Bible? Because he wanted us to see what intercession looked like. Another example, when God told Moses that Israel had sinned so badly that he intended to destroy them, who was it that interceded for those sinful people? It was Moses. It's found in Exodus chapter 17. And so why would God include Moses' appeal in the Bible? It's because God wanted us to know what intercession looked like. But notice that those intercessions, they were done for people who did not deserve to be spared. They were guilty. When God intercedes for people, they don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. There's a cartoon. It put it this way. The jury foreman stands up and he says, "Your Honor, seven of us find the defendant guilty as charged. Three find him as guilty as they come. And two find him guilty from the word go." You see, that's us, each and every one of us. We are guilty as charged, guilty from the beginning, guilty from the word go. We don't have any right to receive the blessings of God. And yet God, he loves each and every one of us so much that he wanted to give us his blessings. He wanted to bestow his blessings upon us. And so he interceded for us. You see, that brings us to our scripture this morning, of these favorite scriptures that we've been going through. So I'm going to ask you, if you would, please, to stand as we read through Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 28. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Thank you. You may be seated, and may the Lord bless the reading of his holy word. Now, many of us, we would resonate probably more with that very last verse. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. But see, we need to remember that we are fragile people. We know that we don't deserve for God to listen to us. You know, there are a lot of people who feel like God actually does not listen to them or is not listening to them. Have you ever heard, or maybe you have thought this way, "I don't think my prayers are getting past the ceiling. I keep talking, but it doesn't seem like God is listening to me. It's like God is not even in the same room as me." Sometimes that kind of feeling, it comes because we have not repented of a sin and we need to repent of things. But more often than not, we feel that way because we feel like God's not listening to us because we're not worthy for him to listen to us. We're not worthy of his attention. The Catholic Church actually teaches that people need to pray to the saints or to Mary. They teach that we are not good enough to enter into Christ's presence, and therefore we need to make these appeals through these special saints or through Mary, because they have built up merit that gives them the special ability to intercede for us. Now, last year, James and I, we took a trip, and we were going to go on a cruise, and we had to fly from here to London. And I have miles on Alaska Airlines. Through my card and through travels, I had enough miles where I was able to use my credit to book not only my ticket, but James's ticket, and we were able to fly. So I used some of my credits for James. See, that's much like what the Catholic Church teaches, that the saints, or Mary, they have enough credits, they have enough merit where you can pray to them and they will use theirs. According to one Catholic blog, the Catechism of the Catholic Church expressly says that Mary's merits are unfathomable, which would seem to suggest that they are available to all of us in surplus quantity. And so what do those merits do? Well, according to the Catechism of the Catholic Church, being more closely united to Christ, those who dwell in heaven fix the whole church more firmly in holiness. But speaking of the saints, do not cease to intercede with the Father for us. Now, the Bible doesn't really teach that. It doesn't teach that. As they proffer the merits which they acquired on earth through the one mediator between God and men, Christ Jesus. And so by their fraternal concern is our weakness greatly helped. So what is that saying? It is teaching our weakness in prayer requires the merits or these accumulated goods or these credits from Mary or the other saints. You see, that has to happen in order for our prayers to somehow be heard. They will carry our prayers with them up into heaven. But see, that's not what Scripture says. The Bible says that we can have this boldness, we can have this confidence to enter into God's presence. It doesn't require the prayers of some dead saints or of Mary to intercede for us. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 22. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Because of Jesus' blood that was shed for us, because of his intercession, we can have this confidence, we can have an assurance that we can draw near to God and he hears our prayers and our petitions. We don't need anyone else to do that for us. God has already permitted us, he's already allowing us to have free and bold access in his presence. Now, we need to understand a little bit about the Old Testament to kind of fully appreciate what Hebrews chapter 10 is talking about. You see, back in the days when Israel is wandering through the wilderness, God had actually instructed them to build a tabernacle. He gave them all the dimensions exactly how to build this tabernacle. The tabernacle, it is always placed right there in the middle, and the tribes, they would gather around the tabernacle. The tabernacle is always in the middle. Tabernacle, it is a tent-like structure. It's surrounded by a fence. And that fence only has one entrance. And when the Israelites would come to offer their sacrifice, to make their sacrifice, they could enter through that fence, but only so far as the altar. They could go no further into the area. They weren't allowed to go anywhere else. The tabernacle itself, it was made up of two rooms. Now, the front room, the very front room, it held the candlesticks, the table of showbread, and the altar of incense. And every priest is allowed to enter into that room. But they couldn't go any further. Now, the back room, which is what's known as the Holy of Holies, the back room of the tabernacle, it had a barrier between that front room and the back room. It was a heavy curtain that went from the ceiling, from the top all the way to the bottom. And no one was allowed to go into that back room except for the high priest. And he could only go there once a year in order to make the sacrifice for the atonement of sin for the people. This room, it held the Ark of the Covenant. That was considered to be the place where the presence of God dwelled. Part of the reason that the tabernacle was actually constructed the way it was to drive home the fact that the Israelites, that they served a holy God. And that no one, because of their sin, was allowed to enter into his presence. But you see, when Jesus died on the cross, the curtain that was in the temple, the curtain that was there, that curtain that walled people off from God, it was torn in two. Scripture says it was ripped from the very top to the very bottom, and it was torn in two. And those of us who belong to God, those of us who are Christ followers, we can now boldly and with full assurance come into God's throne room to offer up our prayers and our petitions. Not because we are righteous, not because of anything that we have done, but only because Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, and he is now making intercession for us at the right hand of the Father. But just in case somehow you still worry that your prayers aren't reaching beyond the ceilings, aren't getting outside this room, God assures us that we don't have to worry because we actually have a hotline to the throne of God. We have a private line that will get us there. Now, in our society, we have hotlines, right? Many of you will be familiar with probably the most common of all of them, 911. You get on and you dial 911, and if it's an emergency, they will send the police or they will send it to the fire department. You can call or text 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, unless it's a leap year, and you can do it 366 days. And you know that if you dial that number, if you text that number, someone is going to be on the other side, right? There are other hotlines. There is a suicide prevention hotline, 988. There are mental health hotlines. There's domestic violence hotlines. There are a whole bunch of other hotlines that are out there. You see, I think a hotline is exactly what Romans chapter 8 is telling us about. That when we pray, the Holy Spirit, He is our hotline. We have a direct patch to God, to His throne room. When we pray, we know that through the Holy Spirit, someone is going to be there. No matter when it is, no matter what time it is, someone is going to be there. Notice what the passage is saying in verses 26 and 27. The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. The Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So Romans says that sometimes we are weak in our prayers. But notice who we can count on in our weakness to do this intercession for us. It's not Mary. It's not the saints. It's not one of your pastors. Who is it? Scripture says it is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. What's interesting is that the Spirit doesn't use words. The Spirit actually Himself intercedes with groanings too deep for words. Have you ever been praying and you just can't seem to find the right words to express what it is that you're feeling? You know, you're going through a lot and you somehow you just can't express it. Well, people, when we're really upset, when we're really sad, when we're really distraught, we have trouble finding words to truly express that. But you see, the Spirit, we don't have to use words. The Spirit knows how we feel. And then the Spirit intercedes for us. You see, it's not like God isn't listening to us. Sometimes it's like we don't really know how to say what it is we're going through. And we mistake our inability to put into words what we're feeling with God's ability to hear and to know our emotions. See, we're at that point, we're already down. We're already being pressed. Chaos is ensuing around us, and we're not sure. And so we may feel like God just somehow isn't listening to us. You see, we don't have to worry about that because the Spirit, He feels our emptiness. The Spirit feels our emotions and what we're going through. And He searches the hearts, and He senses the sorrow and the pain. And then He expresses your emotions into the presence of God with groanings that are too deep for words to express. He is our emotional hotline, our emotional direct line straight to the Father. It's kind of like the story of the man whose wife had just died. He was so depressed and he just cried and he cried. And when he found that he was still emotionally drained and still not dealing with it well, he just decided he was going to get a fifth of whiskey and he intended to drown his sorrows. I'll just take care of it all. About the time the doorbell rang and he opened the door and there was a man from the church. The man's name was Bob. And Bob came into the living room and he just stood there for a few moments. He didn't say anything. The man just kind of unloaded his grief on Bob and told him what was going through and what was going on. And then Bob simply reached over and gave the man a hug. A hug which seems to last for eternity. After just a few moments, Bob left. And he had said virtually nothing. But with him, he carried away his friend's grief and sorrow, and he was able to share in it with him. You see, that's a little bit of the imagery that we get in Romans chapter 8. The Spirit is there with us, and He hears us, and He carries it. That's what the Holy Spirit does when He intercedes for you. He feels your emotions. He cries with you in groans that words cannot express. But you see, there's even more than that. The intercession of the Spirit on your behalf, it also includes a promise. The Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. God intercedes for us in answer to our prayers. Notice this passage. It doesn't say that everything that we experience comes from God, because we all know that not everything we experience comes from God. Notice it. It doesn't say that everything that happens to you is good, because we know that not everything that happens to us is good. So what does it say? Well, it says that if you love God, if you're following after God, if you are called according to his purpose, God will take that which is wrong, that which is messed up, the bad things that are happening, and he can make everything work together for good. When you're going through it, it doesn't necessarily seem like it, but God has a plan. And through the intercession of the Spirit who lives inside of us and the intercession of Jesus, God can work things out. We just have to go to him. See, the Spirit lives in us, and he's interceding for us. But we can go even a step further than that, and we can say that we can intercede for other people. We're going to spend some time in worship, and then we will go into a time of congregational prayer in which we can intercede for people. And I would encourage us to intercede for James and Charisse and Himaya as they are working. You realize it's less than a month. And hopefully they will be boarding a plane and heading this way. So let's continue to worship.